Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're hiring at Don's Garage Doors. No experience? No problem. We provide full training, a brand new van, top-of-the-line tools, a gas card, and steady jobs with weekly pay. This isn't just a job. It's a career with real growth, great pay, and job security. Our team members go from training to six figures, and we're ready to help you do the same. Don't wait. Apply now at donsgaragedoors.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The scope of the investigation now into the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie, it's huge. 18,000 tips as of this recording so far. Millions of views on every family video that's been put out there. We got Reddit threads dissecting body language frame by frame, comment sections full of accusations and amateur analysis, people claiming that they have her, people claiming that they know where she is, or they know the guy who has her, or the girl who has her, whoever has her, but they need some money to tell you that. This case isn't just being investigated. It's being watched and judged by the entire country in real time. That mass observation isn't neutral. It changes the psychology of everyone involved, the family performing grief under a microscope, witnesses who might stay silent because they fear becoming targets, even the perpetrator watching themselves be dissected by strangers online and on television. What is going on here? That's what we're going to break down more of. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us. Let's start on this, on the people angle. You spent your career as one of the few people trained to actually read human behavior the way you can. Now, millions of people are watching this case and convinced they can do the same from their couch. What do you think is happening here collectively in an investigation when the entire public becomes the amateur behavioral analysis unit, essentially?
First, I don't want to discount. I mean, it's a great lead in, Tony. I don't want to discount ever anyone's ability to do what we do and what I do. Mm-hmm. Because everyone can do it. It's
sure.
And here's, but you know what? Here's what the rep is that allows that I get enjoyment out of doing this and allows me to continue to do this is it's not the rep of what I see. It's the rep of not being distracted, as you said, by all the noise. Mm-hmm. I don't get caught up in my own confirmation biases, letting go of confirmation biases. I explore possibilities. I explore possibilities first by taking in data, looking at research and what the research shows us. And then I look at whether these behavior patterns fit or don't fit what people are saying. And that's exactly how I do what I do. And I do so with no agenda. That is the hardest thing, because what happens is when people without a lot of reps look at this, they're seeing a lot of good things, but they have an agenda. They want to think someone's this. They believe this. They heard it from someone they think is reputable here. So now they've inflicted their own personal confirmation biases on what they're taking in, and they disclude everything else because they want to believe this one thing. Meanwhile, what the people on the ground are doing is when you're doing your lead, and the thing that popped in my mind was Star Wars, when in the first one, when Luke is seeing all these things coming in, and all he's saying is stay on target. And that's what they're doing. That's what investigators on the ground are doing. They got to stay on target because there's a lot of noise, a lot of really big distractions that are not helpful in any way. And it gets people really, really wound up. And it's sad.
And how do you know what the target is in a case like this? Where, I mean, it feels like it's a moving target. Some things present themselves as possibly being targets, and then they're not. Obviously, the target here is to get her back. That's ultimately the number A1 target. But to reach that target, we have to understand what type of ground we're playing on, who we're playing with, what's going to get us from point A to point B to reach that target. And there's been a lot here. Obviously, one of the big things has been ransom notes that have come through, and I think for the most part have been debunked. Nothing has come of any of those, but it gave hope. It put a lot of emotion in there. It mixed in confirmation bias of course, this is a kidnapping, and it's this and that. And then when it doesn't pan out, what do you do? But there's a lot of it, because it's not just the energy of the general public that then is being pushed in that direction. It's investigators. It's it's other people that have to look at all these possible targets that keep coming up. It's kind of the forest before the trees. And it's hard to, I think, eventually see what that target is when all these things have come up in front of you.
So here's what's very helpful at this stage of the investigation right now that helps with all this noise, because noise is built over time. And but at this point, at the very beginning of the investigation, when she goes missing, what happens is you got to collect as much data as you possibly can on scene and from witnesses, hearsay, everything. And you got to start following all those leads. And the first thing you're going to do, like we did here, is, all right, someone says there's a ransom note. So the first thing you do is you pull up the laws of probability. You look at the research and you look at what we've observed. Does this fit a pattern? And if it doesn't, then we can start kind of starting to filter the noise away, because there's a lot of noise talking about the abduction. Yet I'm like, we got to look at here, got to look at here. But at this point of the investigation, it's even more evident, like you just said, that this was not an abduction. It was not a kidnapping for monetary gain. It was some sort of home invasion, gone sideways, escalation. Because what's happening is you have all this other noise out there with all these conspiracy theories and everything. But meanwhile, we have enough data, and now we have video cam. We got some photos. We got some more forensics coming in, because all the research facilities are coming back with returns on all the digital forensics. And so because they're not looking at what happened, there's more of a, all right, we got a better idea of what did happen. So they're able to narrow in a little bit, even though the noise is all out here and you can start ignoring that noise more. So here's what they will do. They will eventually get to and cover every single one of those tips that comes in. But now the screening process and the triaging of those tips is much better than what, because at the very beginning, all tips are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know. But right now they're triaging and they're able to really narrow it down.
Let's talk about some of those tips that are coming in. One that has come in is actually in the form of some video, and I think we have it. This is if you're watching us on YouTube or in Substack, this is the video of the man that was taken. The timestamp on this is 1:53 a.m. This is at another residence that they're saying is about 5 miles from the residence of Nancy Guthrie. The interesting part of this is he looks a lot like the guy, and it's 1:53 in the morning. Appears to be the same jacket. Appears to be he has two backpacks in this video. It looks like he's taking and pushing one over the side of a berm, but then retreats and decides to not do that. He doesn't jump over the berm. He just goes over there and turns around. But it does look remarkably like the person that we saw on Nancy Guthrie's porch at 12:12 a.m., which is now we've learned the timestamp of the infamous video now where we see the masked man on Nancy Guthrie's porch. Very, very similar. We're talking about a 19-minute window of time that it would take from this taking place for that person to reach the porch. 19 minutes in the middle of the night. 5 miles away, very doable. And then there we go. This is the, we can see the masked take on him when he's on the porch. What's your take on this, new piece of evidence that's come out that somebody shared from their own Ring cameras?
Huge. I think it's huge. And not just because we see a guy with a backpack, but this is huge because when we're looking at behavior patterns, how often and common is it for someone to show up? And this is the first question I'm going to ask, you know, the people in that house. Have you ever had this happen before? Because what we're looking for is arcs of normalcy or arcs of behavior. Mm-hmm. If they say, which it most likely they will, but we don't know. That's why we assess everything that comes in. We've never had this happen before. I don't know who that is. What's the laws of probability that that person is different than the deviation of the arc of normal at Nancy's house? Mm-hmm. We're talking almost zero. So I think they're most likely linked. They, whether it's the same person, different person, again, kind of go into what your thoughts are. There might maybe multiple people, although the stats are low on that.
Yeah.
But the likelihood of probability of connection, huge. So I think this is a great find.
I mean, we're talking 5 miles down the road from the house. I mean, for the sake of this argument, let's just say it's the same guy. We don't know for sure, but let's just say it is. It looks rather, I mean, without knowing what the hell he's doing, it looks like suspicious activity at 1:53 in the morning. What do you think is going on in that video? Is this a man that is looking to do a B&E somewhere and maybe saw something that turned him away from that residence and pursuing that? And then he moved down the road and Nancy ended up being, unfortunately, the poor random choice that this person took to break into their home?
That's a really, and I'm sorry, you
said it could be very simple. I mean, that's,
It really could be on this one. And here's why I say that. My initial response is going to be no, because the ransom note had so many details.
But it's a ransom note of anything to do with this.
Yes. Then my mind quickly reminded myself that, nope, that ransom note's not tied to the intrusion, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think separate crimes.
Yeah, it might. I'm thinking that. And so it could have been, couldn't get in. What I typically do is when I first see something, I get initial impressions and then I do some more research. I mm-hmm. think about it some more. I place myself in that situation. I mean, I do a lot of mental gymnastics to start processing that information. But my first take was, my first take was, wow, this is him preparing and having a place far enough away that he can kind of set himself up for the intrusion into Nancy's house. Mm-hmm. But that's under the presumption that Nancy's house was the primary target. It might not have been. And so I think that's part of the question. And so I think what they'll be doing part of this investigation is assessing that very question you brought up. What was going on in that video? They're going to be talking to the owners. What areas was he in? What things were being attempted? Did you see any attempts at doors, windows? What other things were tied to this? What's in the house? Have you had any workers around the house? Because I'm still going on my presumption based on stats analysis that this was most likely some sort of worker that knew the area halfway decently enough to target the area. And is there any connection between those people in Nancy's house with the workers they use? So this is the kind of research and background analysis they're going to do to see if this was a primary target, then the secondary target was Nancy's house or vice versa.
I mean, it makes me wonder too, that of another stat, and I don't have it, but I'm assuming, you know, B&Es are, you know, I don't know that I've never done one. Don't plan on it. But I would assume that if you're going to do that, you set out that night knowing where you're going to go. I don't know that it's just like window shopping. I mean, although maybe it is for some. Maybe, you know, real petty. I mean, you think of like, you know, teenagers or, you know, some misguided youth that's just out breaking in and getting money to do whatever. But I don't know. This guy, the way that he came, you know, seemingly somewhat prepared with the gloves and the backpack, you know, nothing, no skin showing, that there's a level of sophistication, but a level of preparation there that, I don't know, it reads to me more like there's more of a plan in place of where someone is going versus, you know, well, this house didn't work, let's just try the couple down the block, you know.
But now, as I'm, again, you're watching my mind go as we're thinking, as I'm reviewing it. So the first house, he wasn't all geared up like he was at Nancy's house. And so,
or was that not even a break-in? Was that literally, I mean, we don't know. I mean, there looked like there were several cars parked there, and we don't have a lot of context on that video. But that does, it makes me wonder a little bit, like, well, is this is this possibly an area where maybe this person resides or was staying or somewhere in this vicinity with that many cars parked around? You know, is this him? Is this him leaving?
That's why it's important to get the context and talk to the owner and all that. But but here's why you focus on this right now, because as a filter, this is huge. Because again, the first question, has this ever happened before? Has this person been on your cam at night, or is this routine? Not routine. Where was what was that area he was doing? I mean, so there's all those questions you're answering. But as of right now, it's very suspect just because of the timing and the outfit and the backpacks.
Well, I mean, what are the odds, number one, that there's going to be anyone walking around at 1:53 in the morning that happens to have the exact same, very close to the same getup on as the guy that ends up on Nancy's camera 5 miles away? Yeah. Or are the odds of anyone walking around the entire Crater Tucson area looking exactly like this? And more or less that he's 5 miles away from the house and looking a bit suspicious in the middle of the night.
It's either him or someone with a really bad luck.
It's Chad Daybell. Chad Daybell's out. This is all another.
So it's either going to be it's either him or they're going to find someone that might give him another lead because it's really bad luck on his part and he saw someone else. I mean, so either way, this is a it's a very good find.
It's going to be fascinating to see what that leads to, if anything.
And I would, again, as we keep thinking live on this. So here, once again, is this my wife hates it when I use this word, this idiot, is he allows himself to be caught on Nancy's camera and tries to cover it with a branch, which shows his level of intellect. Preparation, yes. Good intellectual preparation, no. And here he is again being caught on another ring cam doing some stupid stuff. It fits his it fits the pattern of behavior of stupid if we're going to arc this guy.
You know, and I want to talk about stupid here, and I think we're going to get to that next. Before we do, give us your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube or on Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the description. Love for you to weigh in and give us your feedback.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
The FBI has now talked to some folks. They've had some people of interest. A man was detained in Rio Rico, released without charges. We've seen some very dramatic moments here in the last many a days where it seems, oh, maybe something is going to be happening. The FBI's the hostage negotiation units are around. They're ready, you know, should they need to be called. So, I mean, good on them. I'm happy that they're there and they're ready if Nancy is around and they're going to be needed. The information we're finding out about some of these people that they've detained or went and talked to, it doesn't go very deep. It's one of them, I think it was like the mother-in-law said, his eyes look like my son-in-law. I can't imagine how Christmas is going to be at that house going forward. But when you have loose tips, I guess you could say, coming in, and then it turns into like a lot of attention and let's rush, let's go talk. I mean, good on them for hunting down every tip that comes in, I guess. What does it say about the tips that are coming in and what is being deemed actionable? Because it almost kind of feels like any reason we can go out, we're going to do it because it looks good on us, but these tips haven't really led anywhere.
Excuse me, Tony. I've read reports that indicate there have been something in the neighborhood of 18,000 tips that law enforcement has received since this incident. So it's really difficult to sift through those and see, hey, what appears to be reliable, what can be corroborated, what is just somebody seeking attention. It's hard to sort of distill that information. But you've got to look at the source of the tip. If there is an identified source, you've got to look at whether it's corroborated by other information. information, things like that.
I think we got some of the video there that was just up. That's showing the. This is not at Nancy Guthrie's house. This is from, I believe, a different location, a different day, earlier than Nancy's disappearance. It shows a man that looks like he's wearing the same sort of jacket. Mm-hmm. It's pretty damn similar, with a backpack, going near what appears to be a fence of some sort. And then it looks like does he get over the fence, or does he walk away? It's suspicious activity, nonetheless. That looks like it was captured on somebody's security camera of some sort. How valuable is something like that going to be to the FBI in trying to identify this individual? Obviously, clothes are one thing, but now they know that, well, they're looking for somebody with those clothes. So if they have any sense at all, that those clothes are going to be gone. But we may have a face on that video. I know it was blurred out in the one we just saw there, but I have seen one where it wasn't blurred. Obviously, it could lead to something, or it could lead to nothing. I don't know.
It could be critically important. I've reviewed that video before this, and one thing it shows is the person has two backpacks, not one, and also they don't have the face covering anymore. Mm-hmm. If it is the same person, it might be a completely different person. My understanding is this location is approximately 5 miles from the Guthrie home, mm-hmm. and so currently folks are kind of analyzing the timeline. There's a timestamp in this video, but some people aren't sure whether it's 100% accurate. So, you know, this is what law enforcement is doing. They're getting these tips. They're saying, hey, could this be him? Can we line this up to the sequence of events that we believed happened? Are there similarities and differences between appearance, between gait, between size, height, weight, things like that? That those are all the analyses that are currently going on. Could be a tremendous lead. Could be absolutely nothing.
A $50,000 reward is a nice chunk of money that they're throwing out there for information leading to the arrest of whoever did this for Nancy Guthrie. That's been on the table now for several days. We've had the ransom letters that have come and gone, and it appears that they were probably fake at this point, considering nobody has really come forward for any of that money. When we're talking about a $50,000 reward and nobody coming forward on it yet, typically that isn't necessarily, you know, the killer that, or we can't say killer, the kidnapper, whatever this person is. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's not the person that's going to come forward and go, hey, but it's somebody who knows, somebody where there was leakage, where somebody goes, yeah, I think this could be this going on, or somebody who does know directly that X person was involved in this. The fact that no one has come forward yet, what does that read to you? Does that read to you as there is more than one person involved in this, considering no one has come forward? Or is this really, was this a one-man job by some nutcase or something?
You know, it's a bit hard to interpret that no one's come forward just yet. But to your point, you know, I think there's a reasonable likelihood that there was more than one person involved for a couple reasons. One reason is that on the video and the stills that have been released from the front door, at some points, the purported kidnapper has a backpack and a gun. At some points, he does not. So is there some other car that he's like grabbing this stuff from, going back and forth? Additionally, Nancy Guthrie, the alleged victim, is 84 years old. She is not particularly mobile. It would be difficult for one human being to sort of, carry her out or somehow mm-hmm. escort her out without any assistance at all. So I think the probability of more than one person being involved is higher than some folks have reported.
Eric, what's been your take on the video itself, the main one that's come out where he walks up to the camera, just right there, gets his face on camera, realizes, oh crap, and then turns around and grabs some cilantro and covers it or whatever he grabbed. What is your take on that after saying that? Is this someone you think that that has experience in this, or is this I'm totally green and somebody paid me some money to go do this, or this is my first rodeo and maybe nobody paid him. They're doing it for whatever reason on their own volition. I don't know. What's your gut telling you when you saw that video?
does not seem like a pro job to me. It seems a bit amateurish for a number of reasons. One is that where the firearm is, so it's on a holster that appears to be outside of the kidnapper's clothing, so clearly visible to anybody. That firearm could increase the potential charge. It could add a sentence enhancer. Most professional criminals know not to just be openly brandishing a firearm. On top of that, it looks like they didn't case out exactly the sort of directionality of this video and what it would capture. They kind of just walked up there and was like, oh, looks like I'm on candid camera here. Lastly, if the perpetrators did send these ransom notes, they were sent to media outlets. Usually people wouldn't want a ton of attention around a crime they committed. They would send them more privately to the victim's family and try to procure payment through that channel.
Well, and it even stinks as somebody who maybe doesn't even know how to use a gun, because that's not where you holster a gun. That's a very precarious position for a gun, especially if you're a man.
You know how that'd go off. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that seems like somebody who's not watched a lot of movies, maybe not fired a gun very often. I mean, as a woman, I know not to put it there. So, yeah, this looks like somebody who just picked up a whole bunch of stuff that they might need and had no idea how to use any of it.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of that's my interpretation so far.
And then 40 some minutes in the house. That's another. What's your take on the 40 some minutes in the house?
Yeah.
What would you be doing for 45 minutes? You know, look, if you're going to commit a crime where you're going to enter a house unlawfully and try to kidnap an 84-year-old woman, you're not going to take your time. You're not going to be just moseying around. You're trying to get in and get out. You're trying to not be detected. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like the kidnapper had that front of mind when they were carrying this out. 45 minutes inside there. You know, this is an 84-year-old woman. What are you, you know, talking about The View or something? I have no idea what you would be doing for 45 minutes in there, especially if your objective is to kidnap this person and try to seek a ransom payment. No need to, you know, be talking it up or bullshitting in there for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Something we haven't heard about yet, and I'm just going to throw it out there. We've heard nothing about like cell phone towers in this whatsoever yet, other than her pacemaker disconnected via Bluetooth from her phone. Is that a route that they can be looking at in terms of who was pinging off of the tower at 2 something in the morning at that moment in time? I mean, maybe whoever was there has a ping. I mean, that could be a lot of people. It probably will be a lot of people, but I would think you might be able to see some spikes in activity. I don't know. It seems like a possible road. I would hope the FBI is going down at this moment in time. It's probably, you know, it's taking a wide net and maybe making it into a slightly smaller wide net. But would you think that maybe something like that could be at play at this point of the investigation?
Oh, you're definitely on the right track there, Tony. You know, because what they can do is they can seek search warrants for, like you said, activity with cell phone towers in the area. So that'll often show, like if someone makes a call while they're near a cell phone tower, that's activity that can be logged and traced. And oftentimes the source of the call, the telephone number, that kind of thing can be revealed. Additionally, if someone's just texting or even geolocational data can also come to rise in terms of these forensic digital investigations. So it could narrow down, you know, who was in this area around this time using their phone. Yeah. You know, even if it narrows it down to 100 people, that's a lot better than thousands upon thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. And especially if, I mean, the 40 some minutes and the amateur hour on the porch is what gets me. It tells me this was something that I don't think it was planned to take. My operating thought in my mind, based on nothing but my brain, is maybe something happened in the house to Nancy with this person, and she was injured or died in the house. And oh shit, what do we do now? And that 40 some minutes was spent trying to figure out what to do next. And that's where I'm wondering if there's more than one person involved, if there was an outgoing call to somebody. What happened here? I don't know what to do here. She's dead, or she's laying here. She's bleeding out. Whatever it may be, I'm thinking there might have been some communication somewhere of something that went wrong. That's just kind of my gut. Who knows? That's not fact. It's not based on anything. But that would certainly be something that, you know, if you're looking at the cell towers and what's coming and going in terms of traffic there, that might be something to look at. I don't know.
People in our chat mentioned SA as well, that maybe something didn't go the way they had planned. And
God, I hope not.
I hope not too.
Yeah. That would add a new level of
potentialities.
Yeah. Still no answers. Just a lot of questions, but that's where we're at right now. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube or on Substack. Weigh in. We'd love to get your feedback on where you think this is all going.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
We're hiring at Don's Garage Doors. No experience, no problem. We provide full training, a brand new van, top-of-the-line tools, a gas card, and steady jobs with weekly pay. This isn't just a job. It's a career with real growth, great pay, and job security. Our team members go from training to six figures, and we're ready to help you do the same. Don't wait. Apply now at donsgaragedoors.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
We're hiring at Don's Garage Doors. No experience, no problem. We provide full training, a brand new van, top-of-the-line tools, a gas card, and steady jobs with weekly pay. This isn't just a job. It's a career with real growth, great pay, and job security. Our team members go from training to six figures, and we're ready to help you do the same. Don't wait. Apply now at donsgaragedoors.com. We're hiring at Don's Garage Doors. No experience, no problem. We provide full training, a brand new van, top-of-the-line tools, a gas card, and steady jobs with weekly pay. This isn't just a job. It's a career with real growth, great pay, and job security. Our team members go from training to six figures, and we're ready to help you do the same. Don't wait. Apply now at donsgaragedoors.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A noisy garage door is a cry for help. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Door Service. Most repairs are simple, but if left untreated, they can turn into costly repairs. Your garage door works hard every day, and a little maintenance goes a long way. We fix garage doors fast with quality parts designed to last a lifetime. Over 90,000 five-star reviews don't happen by accident. They happen by putting people first. Fixing your garage doors is what we do. From repairs to upgrades, call Don's Garage Door Service today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I started my first business when I was 12, mowing lawns for about $5 a yard. I learned if you do the job right, people trust you and customers care that you show up and do what you say you're going to do. Hi, I'm Tommy Mello, owner of Don's Garage Doors. From garage door repairs to upgrades, we show up, we stand behind every job. We only use the best parts and springs guaranteed to last a lifetime. When you care about the people you serve, you work harder and it shows. Call Don's Garage Doors today or schedule online at donsgaragedoors.com.
When it comes to garage doors, no one knows more.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're hiring at Don's Garage Doors. No experience, no problem. We provide full training, a brand new van, top-of-the-line tools, a gas card, and steady jobs with weekly pay. This isn't just a job. It's a career with real growth, great pay, and job security. Our team members go from training to six figures, and we're ready to help you do the same. Don't wait. Apply now at donsgaragedoors.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Struggling to see up close? Make it visible with Viz. Viz is a once-daily prescription eye drop to treat blurry near vision for up to 10 hours. The most common side effects that may be experienced while using Viz include eye irritation, temporary dim or dark vision, headaches, and eye redness. Talk to an eye doctor to learn if Viz is right for you. Learn more at Viz.com.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.